praise you, Jesus. Praise you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lamb of God. Praise you, Son of God, this morning. Praise you, Lord, that you're our victory this morning. Praise you, Lord, that you're our delight this morning. Praise you. And that your name is so precious, rolls off our lips with such love, Lord, because we love you so much. Lord, we just commit our time because you are always faithful. Lord, we come expectantly, knowing that you are the true Lord, knowing that there is no other God but you, knowing that you called us to righteousness, you called us to yourself, and you who began a good work in us, Lord Jesus, Father, you will perfect it through your Son now. Glory to God, glory to God, that all the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. They are not maybe. Lord, we love you this morning. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon your spirit this morning. May you leave this morning with that desire of your heart being filled with the only one who can fill it for you. Whatever burden you may carry this morning, Father, I ask that you would cast these burdens down. Father, I ask that every word that is spoken this morning would give glory to the name of your Son. Father, we delight in you. It's been very difficult for me, and I've been asking God, God, what do you want me to share? And he still hasn't told me. So I'm standing up here and saying, God, okay, Lord, here I am. But just know that God loves you.
Amen.
And that, I mean, that's the story, right? That's the story. And it's all about Jesus. And when the Lord our God brings you to that place, when you can look beyond yourself and you can stop feeling sorry for yourself and you can look to the cross and you can see the righteous Son of God dying for you, suffering for you, and nothing you're going through compares with what he's done. Nothing. Right? This is all about Jesus. It's not even about us. But we give God glory that he's called us to this place this morning. You're here this morning by divine appointment. You're not here because it's just a comfortable place. You're not here because this is what I need to do Sunday morning. You're not here to fulfill some kind of righteousness that God's going to give you a point this morning. You're here because God brought you here. You're here because God has a plan for your life. You're here because he is your righteousness, and you've come to worship the King with brothers and sisters like you who've also been bought by the blood. So this morning I ask that you would greet one another and you would say, God loves you. And just go ahead, greet one another. God loves you. Shake hands with one another. Say, God loves you.
Love you, man.
Is that speaker coming back at you?
No, this is good. This is good. Thank you.
I love you.
Amen. Thanks, brother.
Thank you for sharing God's love with one another and how precious that love is to share that love with one another. You know, and what an opportunity we have that we gather before the God of love and we share that love together. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past, God loves you just as you are. But God loves you enough that when you come to him, He's not going to leave you as you are.
Right.
God will break the yoke of bondage. Right? We are inherently selfish in our humanity. That life revolves around my little area. And I don't want anybody to step in that into that area. They invade my space. And God says, it's not your space.
Right.
It's my space. Right? So, and so you invite people in. I had a vision the other day. It really touched me profoundly. I saw a saint of God walking. And I saw that they were different because the Spirit of God dwelt in them. They were different than others. They were not of this world, that they were pilgrims passing through this time and through this place, but they belonged to another time and another place. And that's each one of us. And that it's that preciousness of the person of the Holy Spirit that's in us that makes us different than others. It's not me, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Right? Yeah. And that very presence, that very breath of God, and that's what Holy Spirit means. Spirit means breath of God. That breath of God is here this morning. If you have a need, that you have a deep need before God this morning, and you lift up your heart before God, God's looking for those who have broken and contrite hearts. God's looking for those who respond in faith. Those who grab on to God and say, God, I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to give you my life today. And I ask, Lord, that you would work in my life in no other way that I've ever experienced before, that I would know that you're the Son of God.
Wow.
Right? That I would know it for me. It's okay that these people know it, but that I would know it for me. That I would have experienced the Lamb of God. And I would have an answer for others. The Lamb of God has come. The truth of the world. But all you need to do is come to Him. Lord God. That's the one. That's the name of Jesus that we're talking about this morning. In 1979, June 21st for me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth had a heart collision with me. It's been over 30 years now that he had a heart condition for me. I'm no less in love with Jesus today than I was then. And it's only he who's kept me through my sin. He's kept me through my struggle. I love this quote. Saints have a past, but sinners have a future. Right? We all have a past. We all have something back there. But this one thing that I do, the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me. If any one of you thinks that you have not messed up and screwed up in your life, you're a liar. Right? You're lying to yourself. My righteousness is like filthy rags. I messed up. I've screwed up in my life. I've walked away from God even at times. But I can tell you one thing. In my lack of faithfulness, Jesus Christ has proven himself to be 100% faithful. What a testimony he has. What a testimony my King, my Lord, my Savior has in my life. What a testimony you have, Jesus, that you've always been faithful to me. John, I love John, the Apostle John. And John says in John 3:14, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That when you're struggling, when that temptation comes, and it will, like something you need to understand is you live in a spiritual reality. This is a spiritual existence. You live in a spiritual reality. Don't think for a moment that this is not a spiritual existence and that one day you're going to be in the spirit. You won't even be in this body. You live in a spiritual reality. And here's God on the right hand who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And here's the enemy of your souls, the accuser of the brethren, speaking into your ear and telling you what a loser you are. Speaking into your ear and saying, take that drink, grab that cigarette, grab that woman, grab that man, it doesn't matter. And it's a lie, right? It's a lie. And so what's amazing is as we turn our hearts to God, as we look to Jesus, and you need in that moment of trial, that moment of temptation, you need to look to Jesus. You need to look to Him. What had happened in Numbers chapter 21 is the Israelites were complaining. Oh God, we're so tired of this food. And God was providing the food. It may have been manna, but it was food. And they were just grumbling and complaining before God. So God sent these fiery serpents. And when you got bitten by one of these snakes, you died. So finally Israel cries out to Moses and says, Moses, and Moses intercedes for them. And God says, make a bronze fiery serpent. And that serpent is a symbol of a dead enemy. But when you looked at that dead enemy, you were healed. Whereas God gives us a living Savior. And when we look to our living Savior, we can be healed this morning. You may have cancer this morning. You may have a problem in your body this morning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has it for you. You can receive healing today. You have a testimony today. The most precious thing you have is your testimony. People can deny what the Bible says. Right? They can deny all these things, but when I come and I say Jesus Christ is the Son of God who loves me and Jesus has done so many miracles in my life, they have to reject me, not the Scriptures. My testimony, my witness is what leads people to Christ. And we are His church, right? The word church is ecclesia. We've gathered together in the name of Jesus. That what makes us church. Not this building, not the new building. Not the big Crossroads building, not Living Stones building, but we, the people, the saints of God, the called out ones, we are the church. And the church hasn't gathered together till we came together this morning to worship Him. And He brought us here. So whatever you've gone through in your past, don't listen to the liar. God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son. And I ask you quite honestly, what more could God have done? What more could God have done? Imagine the Father when He told Abraham to take up Isaac on the mountain. And then He said, Abraham, I want you to kill your son. And Abraham lifts a knife. And in the Hebrews it says, he believed that even if he killed his son, God would resurrect him. Hebrews chapter 11. God would resurrect him. But God spoke and said, no, Abram. No, you don't have to. But tell me, who was there to say to God, no, you don't have to? Who was there to stop the whipping? Who was there to stop? Who was there? And the reality is nobody was there, because the will of God was that He would shed His blood to fulfill righteousness and to cover your brokenness and bring healing to your life. Nobody was there to stop the hand of God. Just know that when you look to the cross and you see the blood dripping from the cross, and you see the agony of the Son of God, naked, beaten, bruised. And He speaks from that cross and He says, I just love you so much. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then He speaks in the imperative tense and He says, I command you now to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. That this Jesus, the Word who became flesh, the Word, the name whose name is written upon His thigh in blood, the Word of God, is inviting us to a deeper walk. For some of us, that may mean, okay, I'm stepping over the line today. Lord, I give you everything. For those of us who've done that many, many times, it's, Lord, I'm stepping over the line. And I'm leaving everything else behind.
Lord, you can have it all. You can have it all, God. And Father, we ask together today that your Holy Spirit would hover over us and that your peace would reign in our hearts. Your joy would bring such relief to our spirits, and that you would bring others to us that we might share your goodness, your love, and your glory. For Jesus Christ truly is your Son, and I worship him, Father. So I invite you this morning that as the Holy Spirit hovers, and he's here this morning, he's here because we're here. He's here, and he wants to deliver us from any spirit of religion, any sense of self-righteousness, anything that we think we can bring to God when God came to us. He's here to set you free from an addiction. He's free to set you free from a spirit of poverty. He's here to set you free so that in freedom you would have life and life more abundantly. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And the works of the devil that are tormenting your life. I've learned recently that my authority now is in rebuking the enemy, that I only say now, the Lord rebuke you. That's all I say now. What's been amazing is in my thought life, a temptation may come, beautiful woman over here, car, whatever it might be, the temptations come, and all I say is the Lord rebuke you, and that thought stops. Boom. So I invite you to have victory in your thought life, to have victory here where the enemy is going to attack you, and to just say those words, the Lord rebuke you. I used to say, I rebuke you. Who am I? But the Lord rebuke you. Who is he? Right? And that's found in Zechariah chapter 3 and also the book of Jude, if you'd like to look that up. But I've experienced victory in my thought life by just using those words, the Lord rebuke you. And it's been wonderful, you know, just to have that peace and to have it stop. Sometimes the enemy comes and he pounds you. Right? He pounds you. Do this. Do this. Do this. Do this. Here's the thought. Do this. And the thoughts keep coming. They keep coming. And you get tired, and so you do it. Right? And then he comes and he says, oh, look how much you messed up again. How can God love you? Right? Then he accuses you of what you've done, that he tempted you to do. Right? But when you say the Lord rebuke you, it stops. It stops. Immediately, the voice stops. So I really encourage you in that to have victory in your thought life. The struggle that we have as Christians is we are not consistent in our walk. We are not consistent in our commitment. And we need to become consistent in our commitment as we've stepped over that line and we're saying, it's all you, God. I am not backing off this time. And then it's going to get harder, not easier. Right? And you're going to get hit more. And then the Lord rebuke you, and you take that thought captive. And you experience victory. Sometimes the road back is long. But I can tell you it's worth it. Would you agree, Pastor Stan? It may be long, it may be hard. Would you agree, Don? It's worth it. Would you agree, Melanie? It's worth it. Some of us, I have messed up so badly, and yet I can tell you that it's worth it. Amen. That he's worth it. God never said, following Jesus, my son, is going to be easy. But this one thing he did say, it will be meaningful. I don't want to spend my life on other things now. I want to invest my life in his kingdom. That's the only bank I want to depend on. Investing my life in his kingdom. And I invite you to do the same. God, you're doing an awesome work among us. Magnify it now. Magnify it now, God. So if there's anything you'd like to share with us, I invite you to share at this time. But notice the quietness and the peace in this room right now. Notice the peace that you're experiencing at this moment right now. That peace can only come from God. Celebrate Him. Rejoice in Him. Give Him the glory for the blessings of Sunday, August 5th, and this beautiful day, and we get to be together in Jesus Christ our Lord. So I invite you now, if you'd like to share in the glory of our King, in the blessedness of our Savior. Yes, Joyce.
Many years ago, I had this friend, she was Mormon, and she passed away about 23 years ago, and that's the last time I saw her children. She was a single mom at the time. And this Friday, as I was coming home from NISU, her youngest daughter texted me and said she was going to be in Red Deer. Thanks. She was going to be in Red Deer. Could she come and stay with me? But I don't know how many of you know that I'm moving, and so my house was full of boxes. And I thought, what can I say to her? So I said to her, sure, come. I thought, okay. So she came with two boys. My house is full of boxes, packed stuff. There wasn't, my bed was all taken apart, ready to move. So she came. And after 23 years, I haven't seen this girl. It was such a blessing. I really need you to pray for me, because she too is Mormon. And I know God brought her back into my life for a reason.
Amen.
And it's just exciting to see what God's doing. But I put them up. We put the bed back together and blew up the mattress and stuffed the boys between the boxes. And it was great. It was absolutely great. So I just want to praise God for bringing her back into my life.
Amen, Joyce. Amen. Amen.
Joey got a sister here that's really got a lot of personal attack. Her son here has been in a car accident. He's hooked up, as she says, to a wall of machines.
Wow.
And part of it is that they're going to amputate his leg here. Mm. So I'm thinking we should have some prayer for her and her son.
Yes.
She's in a lot of grief here. So
Chris, why don't you go ahead and pray? And we're going to agree with you.
Yeah.
And we bless our sister. We bless.
Yeah.
And we're going to speak victory in this situation.
Come on, everybody.
Yes. Praise you, God.
Dear Lord, we want to thank you for your presence today. Lord, we have a grieving sister here. And Lord, we ask that you fill her with peace and love and compassion. And Lord, give her what she needs at this time. Lord, this is the greatest time that she needs you. And Lord, help us to reach her. Help her to feel the love of God in her life. Lord, send that on to her son that may be needing, even though he's unconscious. Let him find peace. Let him find healing in that peace, Lord. Let him grow. Let them grow together as a family. And through this traversity, may you bring the whole family closer together, Lord. We give you praise and honor for all that you have. We don't know your plan, your purpose yet, but there is one, and we're just to follow your will and your way. And we give you praise, honor, and thanks for all that you do, Lord, and continue to heal all people that may be having any traversity in their life today. Bind them, guide them, lead them, heal them, Lord. We give you praise, honor, and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Heal them, Jesus. Heal them, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Anyone else? Heal them, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hover over him, Lord. Heal him, Lord Jesus. By your blood, Lord. Heal him, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Today is a very special day for me that I want to share with you guys. I'm an addict, and my younger son was taken from me over 2 years ago, and I've been fighting really hard to do the good things in my life.
Amen.
To stay clean. I came here very broken. I had a really long trial. They were trying to take my son forever, and when I was so broken, my cousin Alana brought me here.
Amen.
And you guys prayed with me up there, and I remember the word of one man who said to me, bring your son here because I know I'm going to meet him. And he's here today and downstairs, and I do get to have him.
Amen.
Unsupervised.
Amen.
Now. And I just want to say to the other people struggling that Like on the 27th, I'm going to take 18 months clean, and I never could have done it without God. And I just thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. You'll notice she came to the right place for prayer. God's people prayed. Glory.
I praise God for this church.
Amen.
And I praise God for Pastor Stan.
Amen.
I praise God for all the people in this church because not only do I have a family at home, I also have a church family here.
Amen.
And I'm really thankful that I have a family because without a family, I think I would be lost. Without God, I know I would be lost.
Yes.
So amen for God, right?
Amen.
God is
amen.
So big. God is so great. Amen. I love God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And also like to ask for a prayer request later for healing for my daughter. She broke her hip. She broke her, she had a seizure last Sunday, and from the fall, she broke her femur bone.
Yes.
So I asked for healing for my daughter, Janet Blood. She's at the hospital.
Amen.
But anyways, I just like to give thanks today that I'm alive, and I'm alive for
amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Pastor Stan. Pray for her son. Glory.
So God, thank you that you are the great healer and that you care about everything.
Amen.
That you see how beautiful the lilies are and you take care of the sparrows. And we know, Lord, that in the same way you take care over us and our children,
yes,
we're
Lord.
Even more yes, precious God. Than that. So we pray for Janet right now, God,
yes,
and
Lord.
We know the struggles that she's had throughout her life. I pray, God, that you'll continue to just rest your hand
Amen.
Upon her
Amen.
And that you will heal her, heal the femur,
yes, Lord.
Heal, Lord, that young woman in yeah. every way, God.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for a mom who loves
yes,
her.
Lord.
I thank you for Barry and for the relationship that Crystal and Barry have and
yes,
for the way they're growing in you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to you, God.
Glory
and so
to
just
you, God.
Keep Janet, Lord, close to you. Touch her and hold her, Lord, in your hands
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stan, for praying. Glory. You know, the power of prayer. And if anything God is calling us to as a community, he's calling us to more prayer together. Many of us pray a lot on our own, but he's inviting us to pray more together as a community, because if one would send 1,000 to flight, two would send 10,000. And in this war, it's a real war. We've had sometimes in 1 week, 6 people die of overdose.
That's right.
1 week. And that's the battle that we're in.
Well, last night I was at that wonderful tent meeting that they have at the end of a gate going north, and somebody explained how great is our God, and Matthew said, "Do you know that God measures the universe with the width of his hands? But can you imagine how great, how big is our God?"
Amen.
And you know, when we say, if God is for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us?
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We have this wonderful, great, enormous God filled with love and compassion and mercy. He said, my love, my loving kindness is new every morning. My mercy is new every morning. My faithfulness reach the sky.
Yes.
That's the God we are serving.
Amen.
No wonder that we love him.
Amen.
Because if this great big God is for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
Yes. Well said.
Thank
Amen.
You. Amen. Anyone else?
Yeah, you do.
Thanks. I just want to praise God for simplicity. It really is so simple. All the little wee teeny tiny simple things that we see in life, like an ant, mm-hmm. and we watch how it walks, or a hummingbird, anything, just the, life is so simple, and so is he. Worshiping him, following him is so simple. So I just praise him for giving me simplicity.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. One last passage here. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus,
the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising this shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Glory to you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for Pastor Stan right now as he brings forth your word. Father, we ask that your word would be fire. Father, we ask that your word would be a hammer. Father, we ask that your word would be sweet like honey. Father, that your word would flow like oil this morning. Lord, and that you would anoint him by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that every word that comes from his mouth, Lord, would work your work in our hearts, God. So that we as a community would rise up in the name of Jesus. And we would give you all the glory, honor, praise, and power. And Lord, that we would be your witnesses and that we would take your gospel, the good news of you, Jesus, to the world. So we commit Stan into your hands now. Father, we thank you for all that you've done in his life to bring him to this place, this moment, right now. And we thank you, Lord, there are no accidents, but that this is your work, and we give you the glory for it. And we bless him together and thank you for him together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you, man. Powerful. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer and what you just read and how that fits in so much with what God's been laying on my heart to bring today in terms of his word. And you know, the what you read about finishing the race, that's what God's been saying to me. Finish the race. You don't quit halfway. You keep on. Even when you're struggling, even when things are hard, even when it's hilly, and I'm not talking about Len's wife. Even when the road is it's uphill. Don't stop. Keep running. Keep running. Keep going for the gold. And in our case, the gold is an eternal life and a crown of righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Just before we open God's word today, I just want to remind you that on the 26th of August, we're going to have a baptism service. Baptism is such an important thing that we do. And it's not just a thing. It's a reminder that we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a command that even Jesus gave us, that we are to be baptized. We should repent and be baptized. It's a whole new life. And it symbolizes the washing away of our sins and that everything we've done is going down the current. It's going down the stream. And we're going to begin a brand new life with Jesus Christ. And he promises that when we do that, he will fill us with his Holy Spirit. That now his Holy Spirit will inhabit us rather than all that crud and all that garbage and all that sin that has been in our lives. So I just encourage you to do that. There's no requirement other than that you believe in Jesus Christ and that you repent of your sins. We don't think that baptism is a graduation. It's a beginning. So we don't take courses. You just get baptized. You come to Jesus just like Jesus did. He preached and people were repented and they were baptized and they were washed in that water. And I invite you to do that. I know there's a number of you that have said to me, I want to get baptized on that day. If there's others, just let me know. And then come. Just come. Let's come to the river. We're going to walk to the river together. And we're going to see the changing work of God and the infilling of his Holy Spirit. I also want to mention just, maybe Alvin, you want to say a word or two, but the tent meetings have been going on. No, you don't. Okay. But the tent meetings have been going on, and we were able to go to one of them. They were just great. Just awesome. And I know the last one's this afternoon. I believe it starts at 2:30. Is that correct? So just come. If you drive up to the north side of town, you'll see the big yellow and white tent. And it's just a good time to fellowship with other people and to encourage each other and to worship God. For those of you who can make it to that, I'll let you know about that so that we can, you know, support that too. We don't stand alone. We're not on our own here. We are the church. The church is the body of Christ, and there's so many churches and good fellowships, you know, all around. We want to support them and be a part of the work that God is doing. Amen. We read God's word because we know this is what truth is. There's lots of things that we don't know for sure if it's true or not. Some of the things we were taught in school, some of the things we think were true, we don't know for sure, but we know that what's in God's word is the truth. And we're going to do that again today. So I just encourage you now to open your Bibles And if you don't have a Bible, I think that most of it will be on the screen here, the words of Exodus chapter 3. Been talking, God's been leading me in the direction of his word about, you know, who is God? And what's it like to have an encounter with God? It says that in God's word that if we have faith, we'll see the glory of God. Well, what does that look like? I want to see the glory of God. How about you? If we have faith, we'll see the glory of God. And that we have this kind of a God who wants to know us in such a way that we have an encounter with him. He stands right before us and he goes, "It's me, Denise. It's me. I'm your God. I'm your Jesus. I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to know me." And sometimes your life isn't always easy, and I don't take away all the hard things because I know that if I did that, you wouldn't need me. You wouldn't rely on me as much as you do. So I want to know you, and I want you to know me. And that's the kind of God he is. He's a God who's relational. He's a God who sees us not as a number, not just as an object. He sees us as children. "You're my daughter," he says. "You're my son. And I want to know you like a father knows his son." And last time we've been looking at Zacchaeus and how he came and he had that encounter with Jesus. He went up the tree to see. He knew Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see Jesus. What does it mean to see Jesus? That's the question. What does it mean to have an encounter with a living God? And how ought our lives to change? Let me say that again. How ought our lives to change if we come into that relationship with the Father through the Son? One of the great stories in the Old Testament is the story of Moses in the burning bush, and how God has this amazing encounter with Moses, or probably the other way around is a better way to say it. Moses has this amazing encounter with the living, holy God. I want to read that today from Exodus chapter 3. Listen to these words. This is God's word. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not take or do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And then he said, 'I am the Lord. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. And so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you.'" Let me say that again. "And God said, 'I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you, and that it is that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." You say amen? Glory. Glory to God. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will worship me on this mountain. And Moses said to God, "Well, suppose I go to the Israelites." Isn't Moses just like us, right? He's always got these questions. And, "Well, yeah, but." But wait a minute, God. You know, have you really thought this whole thing through? And God says, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' then what am I going to tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you." Amen. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that an amazing story? Wow. Who is God? Who is this God that we worship today, the God that we sing praises to, the God that we've been praying to, the God that we've been giving thanks to? I think it's one of the important questions that we need to ask is, well, who is God? What's his nature? What is this God like? We've heard a lot today about his love for us, and I really appreciate that, and I love that, because it's got to be the foundation of what we believe and why the Father sent his Son Jesus. It's because of love. He loves us so much. He's such a God of love. But, you know, in this story that we look at today in the Old Testament, and by the way, this was a famous story. This was a story that was passed on from father to son, from grandfather to grandson sometime through oral tradition. That story was passed on about how God appeared to Moses one day, you know, in a burning bush. And we have it today in God's Word. And it's such an amazing and such a powerful story. It has so much to tell us today about who God is in terms of that God is a holy God. God is a holy God. You know, it's not just about a bush that's burning. It's not the bush that's important here. It's not even, you know, God says to Moses, take off your sandals because you are on holy ground. It's not really even the ground that's so holy. What's holy is God. It's God who is holy. And the reason why the ground is holy is because God is there. And when God is there, it's a holy place. You know, just like we said last week with Zacchaeus, when he had that encounter with Jesus in that spot, it says that Jesus came to that spot and he stopped and he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to your house today. That was holy ground. It's always holy ground when we're in the arms of God, when we have that encounter with God. God is a holy God. He's righteous. And yet, it just seems like we play that down. We don't understand how holy God is. We treat him more like he's some big goofy genie instead of that he is the holy sovereign God. He's just this big goofy genie and we want him to give us whatever we want. Give me 3 wishes. We'll rub the teapot and you come out of it and you give us what we want, God. That's the concept that sometimes we have of God. But do we really understand, and this is the word today, do we really have a feel and an experience and the reality of the amazing holiness of God? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This God is a holy God. He is altogether righteous. He is a righteous God. He is a sovereign Lord. He is the King. Do you understand that? This God that we worship, he is the King of all kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end. There is no one who created him. There is no one who made him or urges him or who pushes him in any direction, because he is God. He is holy God and he is righteous. He is righteous, meaning that he's pure. He is without sin, this God we worship today. He is enormous in his righteousness. He is huge in his holiness. He is the unblemished, he is the unmarked, the pure Lamb of God, the pure, undefiled Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's who this Jesus is. Holy, holy is this God. Holy is our God. Our God, my God, is holy. He is righteous. He is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. He burns with the purity of fire and with the heat of true righteousness is who this God is. Righteous. He is very God of very gods. He is very God. And he is altogether righteous, altogether pure. There is no hint of sin in him. There is no shadow. There is no grayness in God. He is all light. He's light. This God is light. He's righteous. He is holy. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He holds this world because he's so great and because he's God. He holds this world in his hand. And we sing, this is my Father's world. This is my Father's world, because everything belongs to him. We need to foster a new appreciation for who this God is. He's not just my buddy, or he's not just my chum. He's not just this genie that I want to get things from. He is holy God. He is pure and he is light,
And his, I know that my words aren't going to be enough, you know. I know my words will never express it. It's sort of like last night, my son and I were sitting watching the lightning storm. Did anyone watch the lightning storm last night? And he took a, you want to talk about holiness and the power of God and the thunder? And my son took a picture of it on his iPhone, and we looked at it later and we went, that just doesn't do it, you know. That's kind of like words. I'm trying to use the best words I can, but they're just words. They're just words. You have to stand outside and you see the majesty of this. There is God going, you want to see something? How do you like that? You like that one? Let me show you this one. And it's like, whoa! You can't stop from saying wow when you stand and you see that kind of lightning, and it's so amazing. You know, 2 days before that, we saw this rainbow. I don't know if anyone saw the rainbows that happened, but this beautiful, beautiful rainbow, every color defined, and then a double one behind it, and I'm just going, God, you're a God of your promise, right? You're a God of your promise, and you are righteous altogether. You are holy, holy, holy. You are the Lord God Almighty. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you, Jesus, were slain with your blood, and you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. This is Revelation 5. Look it up later. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000 angels. And they circled the throne, and the living creature, and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power, and wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise. And then I heard... Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. To him who sits on the throne, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and glory and honor and power forever and ever. Amen. Man, this is God's word. I can't write this stuff. This is too good. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped him. Oh, man. This is our God. He's amazing. He's awesome. Worship should be wonder. The word should be wonder. What ought to just come from us, be evoked in us today, is this amazing wonder that we have of this wonderful God. So full of righteousness, so full of the pure love. He's a consuming fire and he's righteous, and yet he loves me. And yet he's not way off somewhere doing his own thing, thinking, well, you guys aren't very important. Man, I made you with a snap of my finger. I can make another one just like you. You know, he's not like that. He goes, no, Robin, you're precious. You're mine. I want you. I want you. And I love you as much as I love Mary Lee and as much as I love Stan. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And may you today, Lord, burn in our hearts in the way that you burned in that bush that day when Moses saw you on Horeb. May you burn in our hearts, God, and may we have even just a little taste. That's really my prayer today, God, our prayer today. May we have just a little taste of the glory of God. May we have just a little flavoring of the holiness of this great God who is our King. Why do we tend to minimize that holiness of God? Why do we treat God as if he was made for my glory instead of the other way around, that I am made to glorify him? Why do we diminish the amazing holiness of God? You know, Moses got on his knees. He just started shaking. You read it in the Old Testament. Lots of times people came into encounter with God and they just started shaking. And they just knew they had to revere God. They had to honor God, right? And in the New Testament, some people were slain when they came in the presence of Jesus, or when they came into the presence, like Saul, when he fell on the road to Damascus. Coming into the presence of God, suddenly, bam! Oh, God is so holy. He's so mighty. Why? Why have we turned this into something that's so trite and meaningless or religious and just legalistic instead of a true worship from my heart to God who is my King? He's a holy God. I want to address that a bit this morning about why we've lost the holiness of God and why it's so important that we regain that in our hearts. And I want to just first of all say that I think part of the reason is because we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. I said a little bit earlier that we think that we're created so God, you know, could glorify us. That's not the reason at all that God created us. He created me so I could glorify Him. He didn't create me so that He could do things for me. He created me so that I could live a life that would be pleasing and I could be obedient to Him. We got things mixed up. We think that we are the measure of things instead of God being the measure of things. And that's not Christianity, that's humanism. Humanism says man is the measure of all things. But I want to tell you something. When we start measuring God by the yardstick of me, He becomes very small. I'm going to say it again, okay? When we start measuring God by my yardstick, God becomes really small. And sometimes, and again, it's a bit of an observation here, and it's a bit of Moses' story as well. And I think it's really true, but sometimes we look at our lives and we're disillusioned or we're disappointed. There's things that have gone wrong in our lives. We've made mistakes or people have let us down or we're maybe not in the job that we think we should be in. We get kind of disillusioned, and after a while, what happens is God becomes smaller and smaller and smaller because of my disappointment in my life. And I don't know if I'm speaking to someone here today or not. I think there's a reason why God brings us this word. But you hear what I'm saying? You hear what God's saying? That, you know, sometimes we think that God needs to measure up to us. And if we're using the yardstick of me, if I'm using the yardstick of me and how important I am, it's a very small yardstick to compare God to. All of life does not revolve around me. Even though we live this way, all of life, I don't know why this is so hard, all of life revolves around God, not around me. All of life revolves around Jesus, the Redeemer who came to save us and so we could be forgiven. Life doesn't revolve around you, Conrad. Good news, like it doesn't revolve around me either or Ricky. It revolves around God. It revolves around God. And sometimes when we look at our lives and we look at where we're at, and sometimes this happens more and more as you get older, but we look at our lives and we go, man, how did I end up here? Anyone ever feel that way before? Okay, two of us. Good. How did I end up here? I never dreamt I'd ever be here. I never dreamt that I'd end up in this job. I never thought that I'd be, you know, cleaning people's bums in the hospital. No offense. I never thought that I'd be doing that. I never thought that I'd be hammering nails at this age in my life. I thought God would have, you know, bigger and better things for me. I never thought that I'd be cleaning other people's houses. I never thought I was going to be there. Right? And sometimes we go, come on, God, I want to be more like Moses. When I read this passage, I want to be more like Moses. I want to see burning bushes. I want to lead people. God, let me lead people. I want to bring people across deserts. Anyone else with me here? Is it just me? I want to bring people. I want to stand before seas, and I want to go like this. You know what? Don't you? Come on, God, I want to do this. I want the seas to part. Right? And I'm tired of this life. And I'm tired of the disappointments and the disillusion in my life. And you know what? When we focus on that, we focus on where we're not where we think we should be. God becomes smaller. And he loses the holiness. He's no longer that majestic, holy, righteous, sovereign God. Because I am not looking to Him. I'm looking to me and to this life of mine that hasn't been what I hoped it would be. I wonder if Moses didn't have some of those same thoughts. What am I doing here? Just prior to this story. We're told, you know, what Moses had been spending a lot of his life doing up to this time. He was kind of running away, and he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Not exactly a glamorous thing to be doing. Right? Taking care of my dad-in-law's sheep. In the desert, you know, wow, not exactly what you think your whole life is going to aspire to, right? And then here's the message today, or at least a part of it, is that you may be, even though you're in a really hard place, or you're finding yourself in a difficult part of life, or you're not where you think you should be, you may be exactly where God wants you to be. And often, the place where we do not want to be is the best training ground. The absolute best training ground for God to bring us so that we get ready to do the amazing, mighty kingdom building that he has for us. Amen? You know, it's like David. I think David's a good example. No one wants to take care of sheep, but David's the same way. We know the story of David and the slingshot and how Goliath falls down. You know, prior to that story, David's spending his time taking care of his dad's sheep. He didn't want to be there. He wasn't happy to do that. He wanted to get out in the war. There's a war going on. I want to be with my brothers. I want to beat these Philistines. I'm sick of these people. Come on, God, use me for mighty things, right? And how many of us haven't prayed that? God, use me for mighty things. I can be a mighty man of God, God, if you just decide to do something with me here. But I'm taking care of stupid sheep. I'm tired of these sheep, and I keep pushing them around or getting them to follow me, and they don't follow very good. God, come on. There's a war going on. Let me do something, right? But if you read it carefully, David was learning the things he needed to learn in that meadow, you know, in the pasture. And that's the way it works, you know. We learn what we need to learn in the place where we don't want to be. Boy, I can tell you about that in my life. It's the place that I didn't want to be. That's where God taught me the things I really needed to learn. When David was taking care of his sheep, you probably know this, he took on the bear, he took on the lion, and he defeated them. And so when it was time for him to stand before Goliath, that 9-foot giant, it was like, are you kidding me? You're just a man. Like, I just beat up a lion, you know? You're just tall. No big deal. You're, right? He learned, you get it? He learned what he needed to learn when he was in the wilderness, when he was doing a job he didn't want to do. A few weeks back, I met a new lady who's coming to church here. She's not here today. I introduced myself to her, and she goes, I know you. Oh, really? Yeah. I met you about 15 years ago. You came to my little store, and you tried to sell me coupons. Because that was my job for almost 4 years. And when I was going through the real dry desert in my life, I had a job of selling coupons. You laugh, but I was good at it, because they sent me to a place called Coupon University. And I was a... Hey, listen... This is the truth. I went to Florida. I went to Coupon University. And you're laughing, but I was the head of my class. Tell them. Just see, she's nodding. She's. I have a certificate, I'll have you know, that says that I graduated from Valpak Coupon University. All right? And if you've ever wanted to go into a desert, it's the Valpak Desert, I'm telling you. And she said, you came to my shop and you tried to sell me He tried to sell me those coupon things, and I didn't buy them from you. And I said, well, you were in the majority. Most of the people I went to, you know, I spent my life for 3.5 years going, you know, from door to door, doing cold calls and trying to sell something that I really didn't even believe in myself. And at the end of the year, I made basically minimum wage. And I prayed to God, God, get me out of this hell. Come on, God, what are you waiting for? I've learned my lesson, God. Come on, God, restore me. You say you're going to restore me, but I'm still in this desert, and I'm still doing this job that I don't want to do. And he kept saying, not yet. You still got something to learn. And I got to say, you know, I was thinking about it this week, that it's in that place that I learned humility. I'm still learning that. I'm not trying to say I've accomplished it or I've got that certificate. You know, learning humility, learning patience, learning how to empathize and encourage other people who I'm now dealing with, who I see and who come to see me, who are struggling in their own deserts. It was I'm so glad that God didn't give me a quick ticket out. He said, no, there's something you need to learn here, my boy. There's something you really need to learn. You need to learn that I am God and that you're not. And you haven't known this up to this point in your life, Stanley. You need to know that I am God. And that you didn't create me, but I created you. And I did create you for a good purpose. And I will show you that purpose when I'm ready to show you that purpose. But until then, you need to learn patience and humility. You need to get on your knees. You need to be a repenter. And you need to learn how much I love you. So I want to encourage you today that if you're finding yourself in a place where you don't want to be, you don't want to be in a bad marriage, or you don't want to be in a job that you have, you don't want to be wherever it is you are, that oftentimes in our lives, and this is true for David, it was true for Moses, so often in our lives, it's true for Kim, so often in our lives, where we learn the best is where we don't want to be. We don't want to be. And like the lady said the other night at the tent meeting, your attitude when you're in a desert, your attitude when you're in a desert is going to determine how long you're going to stay there. Woo! There's a revelation, right? Thank you, God. Oh, God. God is a holy God. He's so in control. He knows what he's doing, right? He knows what I need to do. And it's so, for me to really understand and really begin to worship the holiness of God, I gotta just surrender to him and lift up my hands and say, okay, okay, God, have your way. Have your way. I trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to believe that your word is true, God, and it is no longer about what I want. It's about what you want. And I'm going to stop singing the song, have my own way, Lord. Have my own way, Lord. Have my own way. I'm not going to sing that anymore. I know in church I sing it the other way, but the rest of the week I live it this way. Just have my way, God. Just do what I want. I want to manipulate you like you're some kind of a video game, God. I want you to do this, turn left when I want you to turn left. I want you to give me what I say to give me. God, no. Instead, God, I surrender to your holiness. I surrender to your absolute righteousness. And my faith is in you, God. I believe, God, that you have a plan. I believe that you know what's best. And that's good enough for me. This week I've talked to a few of you. And I really think you need some encouragement. So I want to end on that note. And you know, I want to say this, that the more we understand the holiness of God, the more encouraged we are. And the reason for that is because we can stop doing it. You don't need to do it. You don't need to save the world. You don't need to fix people. You can't do any of that anyways. You can just step back and say, okay, God, show me your righteousness. Show me your sovereign, God. You can stand back and let God do what he wants to do, not what you can do. But I want to encourage you today because I've heard people saying these kinds of things. I'm so mad. I'm so mad at Satan. I'm so mad at this person. I spent time on that person. I invested. She came into my life. I brought her to my house. She came to a Bible study with me, and now look at her. She's back doing this again. Another person said, you know what, I just don't care about these people anymore. I'm getting to this point where I just don't care about them. I'm tired of feeling for them. I don't have that compassion anymore. And you know, that's what happens. Sometimes we need someone to say, it's time to run the race again. We need someone to say, this isn't up to you. This is up to God. Stop trying to be God. You are not God. You are delusional when you think you are. Only God is God. Only God is God. And it's time to be encouraged. It's time to realize that the race isn't over yet. I don't know if you saw that. It's kind of an amazing story about a guy. His last name was Redmond, Derek Redmond. And he was an Olympic athlete in 1992. And he was running the race. He was projected to win the gold. But he had a problem all through his career of injuries. And he's running the race and he's winning the race back in 1992. Running the race, it was a 400-meter race. And he had about 120 meters to go, and he pulled up lame because he had a hamstring pull. And he starts to do this, and all of a sudden, everyone passes him again. I'm going, I know what that feels like. I understand that. I understand what athletes are like when they train, you know. And he trained, and everything was about this. And he's running like this, and he determined that he was going to cross the line. He did not want did not finish a DNF, I think it's called, or did not qualify. He was going to finish the race, even though it might take him a while to get across the line. Maybe you saw this. I don't know if you saw, but his dad, his name was Jim, he jumped out of the crowd, and there's a guard there, and the guard's going, you can't get by here. He's this big old black guy. He's like, you see if I can't. You see if I can't get to my son. You see. And he runs up to his son. Why don't you get up here? He runs up to his son, and his son is limping along, and he grabs his son, and he just says, I'll help you. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you, my boy. Yeah. And they, thanks. And he just limped across, you know, he went that 100 meters with his boy. He went that 100 meters with his boy, and they asked him later, they said, were you trying to just get him to, you know, to stop? Were you saying to your son, you know, give in, buddy. It's over. It's okay. I love you. He said, no. I was just there to hold him up, and I was just saying, we'll do this together. We'll do this together. That's what the Father is saying to me and to you. We'll do this together. I know you're limping. You think you don't win. You win whenever you're in my arms. Whenever we cross the line together, you win. I know that you're disappointed. I know how hard life can be for you. That's what Jesus is saying today. I know what it's like to come up lame. I know how hard it is. But I am with you always. It's the same promise that the Father made to Moses. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I'm here. And when they ask, tell them, I am. I am who I am. Amen? I am who I am. Don't quit. Are you hearing it? Don't give up. Don't care what they're saying. I don't care. Let's just not care together, okay? I don't care. Don't give up. Don't stop halfway through. Don't quit and sit on the track, but keep walking. Keep going. Persevere. Because you know why you can do it? Because he's righteous. This God is holy God. He's holy. He can do what you can't do. He's so big. He's so powerful. It looks like what you're coming up against is so huge. But he goes, that? You're worried about that? That's nothing. I can handle this. I'm God. I can handle it. I know people who have quit our church for this very reason. They just get discouraged. They get disillusioned. They go, you know what? I've been here for 5 years. I've tried to lead people to Christ. I've been to their houses. I provide for them. I teach them. And then they go back to the crack. I'm out of here. I'm going to go somewhere where I can just sit. I don't need to get so involved. Man, don't let it come to that. This is not on your shoulders. This is on the shoulders of the sovereign, righteous King. His name is Jesus. Are you getting that? All right. Now I want you to do something really odd. You're not surprised. I want you to take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. I asked for it. That smell you smell is the smell of the saints. It's the smell of God's holy chosen people. And where we stand right now is holy ground. Not because there's something special about this carpet. God knows there's nothing special about this carpet. But because the Holy Spirit inhabits this person, inhabits you. And because Jesus Christ is Lord of our church. And because he is righteous and he is holy. We take off our shoes as a symbol and as a reminder of Moses who stood before God that day when the bush was burning. And we pray today, God, let that burning bush be the burning heart inside of me. Let your holiness, and let your sovereignty, let your purity burn in my heart. Thank you, God. And I'm just going to ask you to listen to this vision that God gave me. And I'm going to close my eyes because I got to think it through. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and try to picture what I'm going to describe for you. It's a vision God gave me last night. And it was a picture of a really big, big bus, even bigger than a Greyhound bus. It just seemed like it was huge and there's all kinds of seats in it. And it was sitting at the bottom of a fairly long ravine, and it had tumbled a few times over, and it landed in some deep water, and it was half submerged. And the door was open to the bus, and there were people all over the place, and there was chaos, and there was panic, and there was trauma. And there was a man, and there was a woman, And they walked into the bus, and there already people were out of the seats, but there were all kinds of other people that were either drowning in their chairs or they were caught in their seatbelts, and there was a fire that was already starting in the bus. And the man and the woman were going from seat to seat and were trying to unbuckle the seatbelts so that they could set people free. And they were unbuckling the seatbelts, and people were getting up, and they were frantic, and they were panicking, and they were trying to get out of the door, and some were getting out of the door. And some who were leaving the bus, some who were getting out of the door, were suddenly struck that they needed to go back in again. And they started to help the man and the woman to help other people. And so there were three or four others, and they were going back into the bus, and they're screaming, and there was panic, and there was death, and the bus was slowly starting to sink more and more into the water. But there were a few who were doing what they could to save the others. But outside of the bus doors, there were groups of people that were standing in different circles, and they weren't doing anything. One group was just playing crib for some reason, and they were just laying down cards and laughing, and they were acting like people weren't coming in and out of those doors. And there was another group that didn't want to go into the bus, so there was about eight of them. They each dug into their pockets and they found a few dollars, and they gave it to one guy. And they said, why don't we just pay you? We'll give you this money and we want you to go in. We think that someone should go in, but we don't want to do it. But we'll give you some money if you'll go in and see if you can unbuckle some seatbelts and get one or two of them out. And maybe the most disturbing of all was that there was also a little group of men in this case. They were going into the bus. They weren't going in to set people free. They were going in to pilfer the watches and the wallets and to take the ring. They're trying to take the rings off of people's fingers that were either already expired or were going to expire soon. And then one of the really disturbing things that happened was that as these people who are truly trying to save the others, as they're working frantically and as people were leaving the bus, a really odd and unexplainable thing happened. And it is that a few of the people who had been set free, for whatever reason, for reasons that make no human sense, a few of them went right back to that same seat they were sitting in, and they buckled themselves back in again. And they just chose to be in that sinking, burning ship. And that was such a disheartening thing for that original man and woman, that they walked out of the bus and they raised their hands up to God. And they said, why, God? Why is this happening? Why would they go back to what they've been doing? And all they heard from God was, don't worry. I am your God. Don't be afraid. I'm in control. And I know what I am doing. But God, what should we do? And he said this, just keep doing. Keep going back in the bus. And if they are back in that seat again, get them out and bring them to where they're safety. Bring them to me. This is God's word today. For God says this. I'm going to change a couple words, but listen. Just close your eyes and listen to this. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their sufferings. And so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the pimps, dealers, and the abusers. I've come to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. And I have seen the way the enemy is oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you. Bring my people to freedom. You say amen? You know, I know I'm getting late here, so we're going to just... But I've been thinking this week, I had someone die that was a father of one of my best friends, and he died at a little over 77, I think. It just really struck me, you know, I don't know how many years I got left. I don't think any of us do. But I am committed that no matter what, I don't know if I have 5 years left or 5 months left or 20 years or 25, but... I'm going to spend those years with you, doing the work of the King. Amen? I'm going to spend these years... I'm proud to take my sandals off with people like you guys. And we have a God, you know, if there's nothing else, this is it. We have a God who still wants to set His people free. He is the same Jehovah. He is the same I am who I am, who set the people free from the oppression of the Egyptians. He's that same God who is setting people free all around us. And He's not going to quit doing that. Let's stand. We're just going to worship God. And Ozil was right earlier. If you have something, you need God for something, come up for prayer. We're going to just end our worship time together, but it doesn't mean we need to end our time together. Come and pray. You need God. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God's encouraging you. Or maybe He's just showing you how amazing, how holy He is. Just come up and pray and worship God. You can do that while we sing. We are more. You are forever. Lord of the nature. God before time. We are a vapor. You are eternal. Love everlasting. Reigning on high. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken. We are the broken. You are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer. Mighty to save. You are the love song. We'll sing forever. Bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name, Jesus. Be unto your name, my Jesus. Be unto your name. Be unto your name.
Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy is his name. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Yes, be unto your name.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. God bless you.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do to do.